93. Kata. Taxil mentions Jelignar, named Blightwind, in an oft-cited quote. Though Yasna Kolin has famously called its accuracy into question, I believe it. From Hesse's Mythica, page 26. When Adolin woke up, he was still in the nightmare. The dark sky, glass ground, the strange creatures. He had a crick in his neck and a pain in his back. He'd never mastered the sleep-anywhere skill the grunts bragged about. Father could have slept on the ground, a part of him thought. Dalinar is a true soldier. Adolin thought again of the jolt he'd felt when ramming his dagger through Satius's eye and into his brain. Satisfaction and shame. Strip away Adolin's nobility and what was left. A duelist, when a world needed generals. A hothead who couldn't even take an insult? A murderer? He threw off his coat and sat up, then jumped and gasped as he found the woman with the scratched-out eyes looming over him.
Ishar's soul! Adolin cursed. Do you have to stay so close?
She didn't move. Adolin sighed, then changed the dressing on his shallow shoulder cut, using bandages from his pocket. Nearby, Shallan and Azure catalogued their meager supplies. Kaladin trudged over to join them. Had the bridge boy slept? Adolin stretched, then, accompanied by his ghostly spren, walked down the short slope to the ocean of glass beads. A few life spren floated nearby. On this side, their glowing green motes had tufts of white hair that rippled as they danced and bobbed. Perhaps they were circling plants by the riverbank in the physical realm? Those small dots of light swimming above the rock might be the souls of fish. How did that work? In the real world, they'd be in the water, so shouldn't they be inside the stone? He knew so little and felt so overwhelmed, so insignificant. A fierce spren crawled up out of the ocean of beads, purple antenna pointing at him. It scuttled closer until Adolin picked up some beads and threw one at the spren, which scuttled back into the ocean and lurked there, watching him. "What do you think of all this?" Adolin asked the woman with the scratched-out eyes. She didn't respond, but he often talked to his sword without it responding. He tossed up one of the beads and caught it. Shallan could tell what each represented, but all he got was a dull impression of something red. "I'm being childish, aren't I?" Adolin asked. "So, forces moving in the world now make me look insignificant. That's no different from a child growing up and realizing his little life isn't the center of the universe, right?" Problem was, his little life had been the center of the universe growing up. "Welcome to being the son of Dalinar Storming Blackthorn." He hurled the spear into the sea where it skittered against its fellows. Adolin sighed, then started a morning kata. Without a sword, he fell back on the first kata he'd ever learned, an extended sequence of stretches, hand-to-hand moves, and stances to help loosen his muscles. The forms calmed him. The world was turning on its head, but familiar things were still familiar. Strange that he should have come to that revelation. About halfway through, he noticed Azure standing on the bank. She walked down the slope and fell into line beside him, doing the same kata. She must have known it already, for she kept pace with him exactly. They stepped back and forth along the rocks, sparring with their own shadows, until Kaladin approached and joined them. He wasn't as practiced and cursed under his breath as he got a sequence wrong, but he'd obviously done it before, too. "He must have learned it from Zahel," Adolin realized. The three moved together, their breathing controlled, scraping boots on the glass. The sea of beads rolling against itself began to sound soothing, even rhythmic. "The world is the same as it's always been," Adolin thought. "Those things we're finding, monsters and radiance, aren't new. They were only hidden. The world has always been like this, even if I didn't know it." And Adolin... he was still himself. He had all the same things to be proud of, didn't he? Same strengths, same accomplishments, same flaws, too. "Are you three dancing?" a voice suddenly piped up. Adolin immediately spun around. Shallan had settled on the slope above them, still wearing her white uniform, hat, and single glove. He found himself grinning stupidly. "It's a warm-up, Kata," he explained. "You..."
"I know what it is. You tried to teach it to me, remember? I just thought it odd to see you all down here like that."
She shook her head.
"Weren't we going to plan how to get out of here?"
Together, they started up the slope, and Azure fell into step beside Adolin.
"Where did you learn that, Kata?"
"From my swordmaster."
"You?"
"Likewise." As they approached their camp in the small nest-like depression in the obsidian ground, something felt off to Adolin. Where was his sword? The woman with the scratched-out eyes? He stepped back and spotted her standing on the coast, looking at her feet.
"All right," Shallan said, drawing him back. "I made a list of our supplies."
She gestured with a pencil toward the items, which were arrayed on the ground as she spoke.
"One bag of gemstones from the Emerald Reserve. I used roughly half of our stormlight in our transfer to Shadesmar and crossing the Sea of Beads. We have my satchel with charcoal, reed pens, brushes, ink, lacquer, some solvents, 3 sketch pads, my sharpening knife, and 1 jar of jam I had stowed inside for an emergency snack."
"Wonderful," Kaladin said. "I'm sure a pile of brushes will be useful in fighting off Void Spren."
"Better than your tongue, which is notably dull lately. Adolin has his side knife, but our only real weapon is Azure's shard blade. Kaladin brought the bag of gemstones inside his pack, which fortunately also contained his travel rations. 3 meals of flatbread and jerked pork. We also have a water jug and 3 canteens."
"Mine is half empty," Adolin noted.
"Mine too,"
Azure said.
"Which means we have maybe 1 day's worth of water and 3 meals for 4 people. Last time I crossed Shadesmar, it took 4 weeks.
"Obviously," Kaladin said, "we have to get back through the Oathgate into the city."
Pattern hummed, standing behind Shallan. He seemed like a statue. He didn't shift his weight or move in small ways like a human would. Kaladin's Spren was different. She always seemed to be moving, slipping this way or that, girlish dress rippling as she walked, her hair swaying.
"Bad," Pattern said. "The Spren of the Oathgate are bad now."
"Do we have any other options?" Kaladin said.
"I remember some," Syl said. "Much more than I used to. Our land, every land, is 3 realms. The highest is the spiritual, where gods live. There, all things, times, and spaces are made into one. We're now in the cognitive realm, Shadesmar, where Spren live. You are from the physical realm. The only way I know of to transfer there is to be pulled by human emotions. That won't help you, as you're not Spren."
"There's another way to transfer between realms," Azure said. "I've used it."
Her hair had recovered its dark coloring, and it seemed to Adolin that her scars had faded. Something about her was downright strange. She seemed almost like a Spren herself. She bore his scrutiny, looking from him to Kaladin to Shallan. Finally, she sighed deeply.
"Story time?"
"Yes, please," Adolin replied. "You've traveled in this place before?"
"I'm from a far land, and I came to Roshar by crossing this place, Shadesmar."
"All right," Adolin said, "but why?"
"I came chasing someone."
"A friend?"
"A criminal," she said softly.
"You're a soldier, though," Kaladin said.
"Not really. In Kolinar, I merely stepped up to do a job nobody else was doing. I thought perhaps the wall guard would have information on the man I'm hunting. Everything went wrong, and I got stuck."
"When you arrived in our land," Shallan said, "you used an Oathgate to get from Shadesmar to the physical realm?"
"No,"
Azure laughed, shaking her head.
I didn't know of those until Cal told me about them. I used a portal between realms. Cultivation's perpendicularity, they call it. On your side, it's in the Horneater Peaks.
That's hundreds of miles from here, Adolin said.
There's supposedly another perpendicularity, Azure said. It's unpredictable and dangerous and appears randomly in different places. My guides warned against trying to hunt it.
Guides? Kaladin said. Who were these guides?
Why, Spren, of course.
Adolin glanced toward the distant city they'd left, where there had been fear Spren and pain Spren aplenty.
Not like those, Azure said, laughing. People Spren. Like these two.
Which raises a question, Adolin said, pointing as the Spren with the strange eyes rejoined them. That's the soul of my shard blade. Syl is Kaladin's and Pattern Shallan's. So, he pointed at the weapon at her belt. Tell us honestly, Azure. Are you a Knight Radiant?
No.
Adolin swallowed.
Say it.
You're a herald, then. She laughed.
No. What? A herald? Those are basically gods, right? I'm no figure from mythology, thank you very much. I'm just a woman who has been constantly out of her league since adolescence. Trust me.
Adolin glanced at Kaladin. He didn't seem convinced either.
Really?
Azure said.
There's no Spren here for my blade because it's flawed. I can't summon or dismiss it like you can yours. She's a handy weapon, but a pale copy of what you carry.
She patted it.
Anyway, when I last crossed this place, I hired a ship to convey me.
A ship? Kaladin said. Sailed by whom?
Spren. I hired it at one of their cities.
Cities?
Kaladin looked towards Syl.
You have cities?
Where do you think we lived? Syl said, amused.
Lightspren are usually guides, Azure continued. They like to travel, to see new places. They sail all across Roshar's Shadesmar, peddling goods, trading with other Spren.
You're supposed to watch out for cryptics.
Pattern hummed happily.
Yes, we are very famous.
What about using soul casting? Adolin looked to Shallan. Could you make us supplies?
I don't think it would work, Shallan replied. When I soul cast, I change an object's soul here in this realm, and it reflects in the other world. If I changed one of these beads, it might become something new in the physical realm, but it would still be a bead to us.
Food and water aren't impossible to find here, Azure said, if you can make it to a port city. The Spren don't need these things, but humans living on this side, and there are some, need a constant supply.
With that stormlight of yours, we can trade, maybe by passage to the Horneater Peaks.
That would take a long time, Kaladin said. Alethkar is falling right now, and the Blackthorn needs us.
He was interrupted by a haunting screech. It was reminiscent of sheets of steel grinding against one another. It was met by others, echoing in unison. Adolin spun toward the sounds, shocked by their intensity. Syl put her hands to her lips, and Pattern cocked his strange head.
What was that? Kaladin demanded.
Azure hurriedly began shoving their supplies into Kaladin's pack. You remember before we slept how I said we'd be fine unless we attracted the wrong Spren?
Yes.
We should get moving.
Now.